sung it, renew our minds, unveil our eyes, Lord, help us to see the way you see things and the way you see people. Lord, we can have our own preconceptions, and Lord, and I pray you help me and help us all as we come back to your word, Lord, to let your word search us. Lord, we are here to search the scriptures, but Lord, we're under it, not over it, Lord. And we pray, gracious Lord, your Holy Spirit will help us and bless us and grant us mercy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, we've arrived at chapter 4 of Acts of the Apostles, have we not? And things have been going great in the Acts, but the pressure begins now. And we see the church having to wrestle with some of the opposition. When things begin to start going well, don't be surprised if opposition arises. It's the spiritual law of the world, I'm afraid, in which we live. And we come here to see what's the particular group that the opposition arises from. It's still true today. It's the unbelievers, the secular, the people that can be religious and yet deny the supernatural. They're called Sadducees in the Bible.
Yes. Sad,
and they were sad, yes. But they weren't only sad, they were exceedingly clever, exceedingly powerful, and very nasty. And we'll see their behaviour as we come to this. So let's start here. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking in the temple. So the temple guards, just to mention these people, the temple guard were a special sort of religious police. Have you been to Saudi Arabia, anybody? They have the religious police. They make sure that you conform, right? That's what the temple guards were doing. And Peter and John were upsetting the system. And so they come up to these guys, the Sadducees included, of course, there they are, come to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming that Jesus, in Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. So what upset them? More than that. They were talking about the resurrection of the dead. Right, now then, shouldn't say right, I must remember this. The resurrection of the dead is supernatural. It ain't normal for dead people to rise. The Sadducees, they will accept anything but supernatural. And so they're on their hackles about this. Here's somebody going around teaching supernatural stuff, and they hate it. And of course, it's in the name of Jesus. That's just adding, we say, salt to the wound, as it were. So they're upset. And these are the Sadducees are the people in power. These are what we call the establishment, the politicians of the day, the religious hierarchy, all wound into one. Okay, so that's what they are. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. That's what they did. They had the authority to arrest people. This is the first arrest of Christians. It's been going on a long time since, has it not? But here they were arrested, these leaders, Peter and John, and put into jail overnight. We don't know what happened to the man who was standing with them. That was the crippled man. Whether they seized him and put him in jail as well, I don't know. Quite possible. Or he may have nipped off for the night. Don't know. Leaflets and praised off in a different direction. I don't know. No, but the Sadducees were the rulers and the temple guards did what the Sadducees told them. They probably were Sadducees in their mentality, but I don't suppose they were part of Sadducees in their terms of their affiliations as such. That's my guess.
They're Jews.
Oh, they're Jews. Yes, they're all Jews. But these are dead Jews, unbelieving Jews, hostile Jews to that which is faith and God and truth. So, it's still around. If we get any opposition, I can assure you, it won't be from the people outside, it'll be the religious people on the inside. Often where it starts, is it not? That's what they are. So, we get it here, right? The next day, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Isn't that wonderful?
Wow.
You can't stop God! So they're doing all they can to stop this movement beginning, and God's just multiplying. So the number of people who believed grew, the number of men grew to about 5,000. Why don't they count the women in as well? Possibly not, I don't know. Well, this is a temple. People mixed all over the place there. I don't know. But anyway, that's what he says there. There you go. Right, the next day. The next day, now listen, just picture the scene here, right? This is the Sanhedrin meeting. It doesn't say so, but that's what it is. It's the Sanhedrin. This is the top court of the land, the Old Bailey, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. But it's a religious court. It's not just a criminal court, it's a religious court. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. And so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest family. Now then, what does that tell you about the people in charge?
It's a family job.
It's a family job. The old boy network. That's what it is. It's the old boy network. And Caiaphas had been... Annas, I believe it was Annas, is the high priest. Caiaphas had been deposed by the Romans. He was that bad. So, anyway, they're all in it together. Like our Prime Minister tells us, we're all in it together. No, we're not. They're all in it together. We're on the outside. But there we are. Sorry about that political moment. Yeah. Right, okay. So they're all there, the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. They're perfectly in order to do this, you realise. They haven't made the rules. They're applying the rules the way they want. But it was quite in order. If you maybe you don't remember, but in Deuteronomy it talked about the prophet who's coming, and it also talked about how to test for false prophets. False prophets, if they say something and it doesn't happen, they're dead. If they say something and they lead people away from God, they're dead. So Peter and John are in big trouble because they think these are false prophets. So they get them together and they question them, and their question is, what do they say? By what power or what name did you do this? Who gave you the right to do what you're doing? Where did you get your power from? Jesus was asked that question before. And same people, well, it was the Pharisees as well as the Sadducees, when they asked Jesus the question, they said, by what power or what authority have you got to do what you're doing? And Jesus said, what did he say, remember? He says, I'll answer your question if you'll answer mine. And the question was, John the Baptist now, you tell me, was John the Baptist sent by God, or did he come under his own steam? And they go away and they deliberate, they think, mumble, mumble, and they say, if we say John the Baptist, he's going to say to us, well, why? If we say John the Baptist was sent by God, he's going to say to us, well, why didn't you believe him then? But if we say, as we believe, John the Baptist was just an upstart on his own, we're in trouble. Because the crowd, you know those peasants, the plebs, the crowd think he was sent by God. And if we say he wasn't, they'll stone us. So they go back to Jesus and they say, we don't know. Of course they know. Yeah, we don't know. And Jesus says, well, I'm not telling you either. Beautiful. Same question. Where did you get your power from? And the simple answer is, he's from God. But they won't admit that. They want a natural explanation. Because they're naturalists. Not like David Attenborough, you know what I mean? People who live on the natural level, not supernaturalists. Okay, that's what they say. So where did you get this power from? By what power or name did you do this? Well, they've set themselves up. In what name? You know what Peter's going to say. Well, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Now, before we get to what he says, what's happened to Peter here? He's filled with the... Well, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I suspect something came over him as well. There's more oomph in him this morning.
Yeah? He's got this anointing on him. God is with him. Fulfillment of a promise. What did Jesus say? They'll bring you before the authorities. They'll put you up in front of the judges. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will help you. And sure enough, full of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit popped up. Isn't that good? Yeah. And he says this, rulers and elders of the people. Well, he's respectful, isn't he? Yeah. If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and ask how he was healed, then know this. Well, before we know what to know, notice how he introduces it. Yeah. We're being... What would you say he was being when he says, if we're being called to account for an act of kindness shown to a crippled man?
He's being told of them.
Yeah. He's having a go at them. Yeah. He's saying, you're calling us for something that we've done that's good. That puts a bad reflection on you, doesn't it? I bet they got the message as well. So, if we're being called to give an account of something good, well, we'll tell you. Then know this. How about that? Then know this. You and all the people of Israel. Just pin back your ears and get this. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh dear. Not him again. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, that's the name. And what's the power? Whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. That's the name. That's the power. He's alive. And he's still doing what he did before. And, well, I can imagine them choking on their cornflakes on that one. Yeah, here they are saying, he's telling them this, we're not apologising for the supernatural. Do you know, it really saddens me when I read commentaries occasionally, and they go all around the woods trying to explain things when the simple answer is, it's miraculous. Mm-hmm. Well, never mind, it's miraculous. That's what it is. And so he says, that's why this man stands before you healed. Isn't that wonderful? What is the ultimate refutation of their secular position? What is the answer that we as believers can give to the unbelieving, hostile, secular view? Is a man standing healed who never walked in his life?
But you said what happened to him, he's obviously taken with him.
Oh, he's there this morning, yes, he's turned up somewhere, whether it was in overnight prison or he turned up in the morning, but he's standing there with them. They cannot argue against the truth, the reality of what it is. They'll try to explain it away, they'll try and find all sorts of other excuses or whatever. That's why they wanted to kill Lazarus. Lazarus is a walking example of the supernatural. We don't want that. And so, there's this man standing here. And then, so he says, that's what we've done. That's the name. That's the authority. And then he says this. He is, this is Jesus, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. The stone you builders rejected has become the capstone. You thought it was useless, worthless, no good, and God's taken him and put him at the top. Yes? And what is Peter doing by quoting the scriptures? He's answering that charge in Deuteronomy, leading them away from God? No way. He's leading you back to God, because God said you'd reject him, and you have. And he's saying, come back to him. So, Peter quotes the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? He's got the right verses. Do you know how he got the verse? They know them. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring to mind what you need. The Holy Spirit brought out a number 10 revolver on this one. Yeah, or whatever a number 10 revolver is, I don't know. But I made it up, you know. Yeah. But it's a big one. Yes. Right. And then, how about this? Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Underline that verse. That verse, it'll get you into trouble. But it's the truth. Why will it get you into trouble?
Because it's the truth.
Well, yes, but why will it get you into trouble?
Because
it's a definitive statement of who Jesus is. It's a definitive statement of Jesus, who Jesus is, and it's a definitive statement of all the rest. Mm.
Yeah. But no one else, nothing else.
No one else. Muhammad? No. Buddha? No. Confucius? No. You name it? No. Mm. Jesus? Yes. Mm. It's totally exclusive. Mm. Now that doesn't mean to say we put the people down and ignore them, but if that's true, and it stands true, then it makes everything else false. There is no other name given among men. Who's given the name? God has. Jesus is the Saviour, God's appointed Saviour. If you don't come through Jesus, you won't get in. That's as simple as that. So that's why we need to tell people the gospel. Because they've got every sort of other alternative but salvation. Yeah, good works, religion, you name it, they'll have it. But Jesus is the only way. So there is no other name, no other place for salvation except in Jesus, by which we must be saved. So that was Peter's answer to them.
You know, but sometimes people say, well, if that's what you believe, and you want to say, well, no, it's what it says in the book.
Yes.
It's what I believe, but it's not me saying it.
No, exactly.
It's what it says.
Yes. The modern view, it's relativism. It's, if you believe it, it's okay for you. Absolute baloney.
Yeah.
If it's okay for you, it does not mean to say it's true. We're saying it's true because it is true. We're not saying because I like the idea. The truth matters.
If it works for you.
It's like if people say, well, that's nice for you.
Yeah.
It's not nice for me.
It could be nice for you too. It's the truth.
Frustrating.
Well, it is frustrating because it's the modern mindset. Mm. It's the way people think. Mm. That somehow truth is adjustable.
Whatever suits you. Yeah.
Right. Mm. So let me tell you. Okay, if it's okay for me to go around murdering people, I'll come round yours next week and shoot your mother. What do you think to that? I feel good. It's okay. Mm. It's true for me to go around murdering people. Mm. Even cannibals don't do that. Cannibals, it's okay to kill people across the hill, but it's not okay to kill people in your little camp. What's true for me is not true for me when it's over the hill. And they've got this silly idea. Truth will not move because it's changed times. Truth is true. If it's true then, it's true now.
Oh, but we've got to move with the times. That's what you get as well. I've heard that.
The word is the same. How is the times moving?
So the word remains.
Right,
the
so it's that's it.
Mm.
There's no end of discussion in one sense.
Mm.
So Peter tells them this, and remember, they're just the same today. Modern secularists. They hear this guy spouting out this absolute truth, and they don't like it, but they've got a problem. And the problem is, the evidence is in front of their eyes. I can say it's true, but I can show you it's true. That's different. Now then, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. They saw... what did they see? They saw something in Peter and John?
Ordinary people.
Well, before they saw their courage. These guys are bold. Yeah? They're not intimidated by this mighty display of power.
Mm-hmm.
They're not intimidated by it. Why not? Remember, 4, 5 weeks, 6 weeks before, Peter wouldn't have said boo to a goose. What's made the difference is the Spirit of God in him. And he's now saying, I'm telling you this because it's what I know and what is true. And they saw the boldness of Peter and John. We've never heard a word from John. So you can see it's a small account of what's going on. What was John doing? I agree with my brother. I agree. I don't know what he was doing. But they got the point that both him and John were in it together. And so they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And they saw that they were unschooled men. What does that mean? They hadn't been to Cambridge. That's what it means. Because they had been to Cambridge. Right? And so they look on these people as demos, down people, not worth listening to or hearing. That's their way of dismissing
the ordinary man in the street. The educated secularist is arrogant. He thinks he's the only one who knows anything. So here are these. I will tell you what he meant. If I was going to rewrite this translation, when they saw that they were peasants, that's what they mean,
yeah.
Unschooled men, when they saw they were peasants, just ordinary Joes, they were amazed. And what does it say? They took note. They realised they were unschooled ordinary men. They were astonished, and well, they might be. They were astonished and took note these men had been with Jesus. That's where they got their influence from.
Yeah.
But, I've said this before, I'll say it again. These are unbelievers in religious clothes. They look at these men and they see only half the picture. They saw that these were ordinary men who'd been with Jesus. What didn't they see was these were ordinary men who still had Jesus. It's not Jesus is gone, Jesus is back. And he's with them. That's what made the difference, by the Spirit, of course. But that's what they couldn't see, because they're blind. But that's what makes the difference. So, they see this, and since they could see, look, this is lovely, what they could see, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. That's beautiful. They can't argue with the facts. Mind you, they do nowadays. Yeah. Don't let a few facts get in the way of things. You know, I've got a great theory. Don't upset me with facts. But they've got the man standing in front of me. And I offer this as, I said this, these books, these chapters in Acts are going to challenge us. The challenge for the church today is, we need some men who've been transformed by the grace of God out of crippledom into standing upright and jumping up and down for joy. That's the evidence. I can't convince people by talking. But I tell you what, the evidence, backed by the Holy Spirit, can make quite a difference. I remember reading, I keep quoting this dear man of God, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, when he went to a minister in the place, he always used to say, I'm praying that the Lord will take the worst man in this community, the down and out chap, the people everybody knows is the foulest mouthed person going, I'm praying that the Lord will get hold of this guy and turn him into a saint, and the whole people in the town will know God's arrived. That's what we need. Lord, do it, eh? Wow. Okay, so, there we go. They saw this. The man standing in front of them, they couldn't do a thing about it. Right. So, they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. Out of the place. Let's have a little chin wag, see what we can work out between us. Remember, these are very sly people. They've got the devil working for them, remember?
Yeah.
So, they say, what are we going to do with these men, they asked. What do they want to do with these men? Stop them.
Get rid of them.
Shut them up. Everybody in Jerusalem, everybody living in Jerusalem knows they've done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. Oh, we'd love to. Someone said, the only way you can deny an outstanding miracle like this is to live 3,000 miles away and 2,200 years away. That's the only way, that's what they're trying to do now. Oh, it was then. Well, then was then, and it happened then. So, still real. But we want to see some in the present, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. So, we can't deny it. They can't deny it when it's in front of their noses, that's for sure. But, now then, we can't deny it, but to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Why do they want to stop it spreading among the people? It's undermining them in one sense, although it wasn't undermining them. If they'd trusted in Jesus for themselves, they'd be fine. They want power for themselves. But what's their guiding principle is no supernatural. We don't want supernatural. So don't let these people hear about supernatural, or they might start thinking about supernatural, or we might start seeing some. This, honestly, brother, this is the media. Now they're talking about. They're saying, let's make sure that word doesn't get out. And of course, they didn't have the media in those days like we do now. But if they could have, they would have said, what we've got to do is spread gossip about these people, undermine their characters, make them out to be total jerks and idiots. That's what they do with Christians today. Because what they stand for, we hate. That's what they say. We hate what they stand for. And we don't want it spreading. So let's stop them. So what do? They say, to stop this, we must warn them not to speak any longer to anyone in this name. So that's what they decided to do. Put a gagging order on them. So it is. A gagging order. So they bring them back in. They called them in again and commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. So that's their verdict on the matter. You've been told now, you mustn't speak or talk in the name of Jesus. They've just passed the law. That is a law now. Because they're the government. They can say what they like and order what rules they want. Now it's rules. You don't talk about Jesus anymore. We get into that in this country, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Change the rules. That's how it is. You don't talk about Jesus anymore. Peter says, well, that's a fine one, that is.
They do that on the television. As soon as Jesus' name got
there, yes, yeah. Yeah, well, that's the media, it's not the government yet, but yes. So, but Peter and John replied. They're in it together again, you notice, yes. Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves. Well, they are judges, they ought to be able to come to a good reason on this one. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight. So what he's doing is he's taking the court out of their jurisdiction into God's.
Yeah.
Right? Look, we're on the court here, but let's move it up a scale. Let's go to God's court, shall we? And let's see what God says about this. Is it right in God's sight to obey you rather than God? Well, that's a simple answer to that one, isn't it? And they can't argue with it. Do we obey what God says, or do we obey you? And of course, Peter is preaching civil disobedience here, isn't he?
Mm.
But the interesting thing is, he's not talking about going around bombing people and shooting people. He's saying, we'll be prepared to pay the price, but we're not doing what you've told us.
Mm.
Because you are telling us to do what God told us not to do. And that's to be quiet about it.
Mm.
And we may come to that state sometimes. Some people have. Where we're not being... breaking the laws just for the sheer madness of it all. But we're saying is, if you tell us to do something that God says we shouldn't do, we're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll face the consequences. We're prepared to accept that, but we're not doing what you say if it's not what God tells us to do.
Yeah.
So, judge for yourselves, you're good judges, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Well, how about that? So we've got evidence. We've seen it. We've experienced it. We're going to talk about it. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Well, can they help? In theory they could, but they're not going to. We're going to, because they're driven by the knowledge that it's true, and it's the only thing that will help people. So yes, we'll go for it. So, after further threats, when Peter says to them, I'm sorry guys, we can't do what you tell us, we'll have to carry on. After further threats, can you imagine, he talks about gnashing of teeth in the Bible. There was serious gnashing of teeth here today, I should think. And after further threats, it says, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. Do you know, that's the saddest verse in the whole chapter to my mind. Just like the beginning. You're calling us to account for something good. And all the people, they get it. All the people are praising God. Because something good has happened. A man who couldn't walk is jumping around. That's wonderful. And the tragedy is, when Jesus was doing miracles, everybody else is happy, and the authorities are gnashing their teeth. Mm-hmm. We hate this man. He's doing too many nice things. Mm-hmm. Isn't that sad? Mm-hmm. That shows you where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. Who's motivating them? Who is hostile to what's good? It's the enemy. Mm-hmm. And they're working for him. That's what's going on. So, that's Peter. They've let them out. And the people are praising God, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. There's hope for us all, isn't there?
They said he wasn't a child.
No. Though he can give his own evidence. Yes, he's not made up, this one. And the lovely thing is, because he's over 40 years old, it's evidence this was an astounding miracle. Mm. It wasn't that he just had to have a little recovery from a birth defect. It's a serious miracle stuff. Supernatural. So we face the secularists still, dear friends. And we need to pray that the Lord will confound them with the supernatural. Yes. So, on their release, we've been in one group. Now, we've been in one group that's exceedingly hostile. We're going to go to another group that is very much on the other side of the scale. These are welcoming, friendly people. Part of the gang. Yes. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Well, how about that? They reported it. I wonder how they said it. You'll never believe what they said to us. Yeah. Right. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So, what's their response to this that they've just heard Peter and John tell them? Is they pray. They know where the power comes from. Yes, by what authority do you do this? God's name, that's what. So they turn to God in prayer. And someone leads them, obviously. But their prayer is this. Look at this. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything that is in them. How about that? That word sovereign there, it's an unusual word. It's the word for despot. We usually mean the word despot, meaning someone who's a bit of a nasty dictator, don't we? But it's describing God as the all-supreme being. And there, what are they saying? Is in the face of the opposition, who's in charge? Who's got the power? As God has. And so they turn to God, and they say to him, they describe him as the, what do they call God? The Lord who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I once had it was an argument in a sense, with a minister. Mm-hmm. He's not in town now, he's long since gone. Yes. But he wasn't a believer. He didn't believe in God being the creator. Mm-hmm. He's all about all this, you know, he crawled out the slime type of business. I said to him, so what do you say, what do you mean, when you say God is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them? Because it's all over the Bible. Mm. I believe that. Mm. I really do mean that's what it means. Yeah. God created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Mm. And he is. That's up to God, the creator.
What did he say?
Sorry?
What did he say then?
Well, he hasn't got anything to say.
Okay.
No. No. Of course, there's no answer. I mean, it's
yeah.
Who's there? Mm. You claim to be, well, you're drawing your money.
Yeah, but you're great. Before,
to be a Bible or a teacher of God. Mm. Well, you're not telling him the truth. Mm. Well, there you are, there you go. Sovereign Lord! Amen, I believe it, Lord. They said, you made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. Amen. So you're in charge, Lord. You're the God who made it all. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Now then, he'd have problems with this as well. You spoke what?
By
the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of David, your servant. And then he quotes the psalm. What are the people saying here? Who has inspired the Bible? It's God has. He's got a view of Scripture here that is not held today. In many areas. They would say, David had some wonderful thoughts. A few holy ideas. You know, this idea about God doing this, God doing that. It was David's thoughts. They don't say that. They say David thought what God wanted him to think. The Holy Spirit moved in his mind. By the Holy Spirit, David said. How about that? That's a view of scripture I like. Yes. The mouth of your servant, our father David. Right, so. And he quotes this. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. The word anointed is Messiah there as well, of course. Yeah. What psalm is it?
Two.
Psalm 2. And what's he doing? He's quoting a psalm here, of the man in prayer who's praying. He's quoting a psalm and he's interpreting Psalm 2 for us. Well, all the Jews understand Psalm 2 to be messianic now. I'm sure they do. Yes. But what's he doing is he's applying it to their situation then. He's not, well, all the nations, well, the Romans represented all the nations in a sense, and the authorities in Jerusalem, they represent all the people. All of them are conspiring against, well, they're raging and having a go and being hostile. There they are, raging, plotting in vain. Do you know what in vain means? They're wasting their time. Because it's not going to work. Yes, but they'll have a go. They plot in vain. The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. So they're fighting God and they're fighting his Messiah. That's what they're doing. So that's what he's saying. That's Lord, that's the verse that the Spirit has guided me to about what's going on here. Yes? Is that lovely, eh? And do you know what the rest of the psalm says? He who sits in the heaven laughs. Right? And it's not that he's entertained by them. God's not laughing because they're entertaining. He's laughing in mockery.
I told you so.
Yeah? He says, I have installed my king on the Zion. Kiss the son, lest he be angry and be destroyed. God says, my son's in charge, and you better make sure you notice that and respond to it. Anyway. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. So, who's involved in the hostility? Herod? What was Herod? He's the king. Why, he's the Jewish leading king. He's the king of the day. Yeah. Pontius Pilate, who's he? He's the Roman governor, so he's part of the outsiding lot, yes? They met together with the Gentiles, so all the Gentiles, and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Now then, remember, to use the term holy servant, particularly the word servant, what does he mean? What's he referring to? He's referring to Isaiah. The servant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. I've said it yet before, yes? The servant of the Lord is the Messiah. And what do we know the servant of the Lord is called? He's called Jesus. So they're saying Jesus is the Messiah there. Right. Whom you anointed. Yes.
What's he referring to there? Whom you anointed.
It's the Messiah. The word anointed there is to be anointed. It comes from the word Messiah or Christ.
Right.
The word Messiah means anointed one. Yeah?
It seems to be saying they have accepted Jesus was the Messiah.
The believers have.
Yeah.
They're hostile to this person whom God has anointed as his Messiah. They don't want him to be Messiah. They don't like him being Messiah. But they're going to have to face him as Messiah whether they like it or not. Mm. Yes. So they can deny it. It may be true for you believers. But it's not true for us. We don't accept Jesus as Messiah. Well, you will when you stand in front of him. So, indeed, that's what's going on. Now, Lord. Oh, no. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. How about that? Something profound has happened to these disciples. Since they've come to see Good Friday from a new perspective. See, Good Friday before was, like it was on the road to Emmaus, we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. But it all went wrong. What are they saying? Didn't all go wrong?
It was all
part of the plan. We see the plan now. We see God had planned it. Okay, they were hostile. They took their tricks and schemes and everything else to get rid of Jesus. But back of it all, God had planned this. Because that was the way he was going to save us. It's amazing, eh? And we need to hold on to that. You know, when the enemies are doing all their rotten stuff, you know. They may think they're doing all their stuff. But behind, somewhere along the scene, God is still got the steering wheel. He knows where he's going. Okay, so that's what's going on there. It was your plan, Lord. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. And I say it again. They did, and they're guilty for it. Just because God had got the plan doesn't excuse their evil intentions. They are guilty for what they did, but God was behind it. Right? You don't like that? Tough. That's the way it is. Yes? God's still sovereign, a man's still responsible, and how you put it together, I don't care. The truths are the same. You're responsible, God's in charge. Okay? We can live with that, can we?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, now then. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. So what's their prayer? They've spoken about God, about what's happening. They've been praying about, Lord, you're creator, you've done all this, you've planned all of this stuff, you're fantastic, God.
Tell people.
What's the prayer? What are they asking?
Tell people.
Now, Lord, consider their threats. What's he asking them to do? Lord, consider... What does he mean, God, consider their threats?
Think about their threats.
He's asking... What is he asking God to do with them?
To deal with them,
in a sense, yeah? Lord, you know what they're up to. Yes, you know what they're up to. You know all their threats. You know their little plans, their schemes. So, Lord, you know all their plans. So what are we asking for?
Boldness.
Mm-hmm. Now... If you were praying that prayer on that day, what would you pray? Or what would most of us today pray? You would? It's good. I guess most of us would pray, Lord, get rid of them. Deal with them. Sort them out. And let us have a nice quiet life. Isn't that right? Probably. Yes. They don't ask God to give them a quiet life. They ask Lord to give them more trouble. Lord, we want more of what's given them as problems to start with. More boldness, because Peter and John were bold, they get arrested. Lord, we want some more boldness. Strange, isn't it? These are what we call muscular Christians, I'd like to suggest. Lord, we don't want to have a cushy life. You consider their threats, Lord. You know what they're planning, Lord, and you can sort it out. But Lord, we want to get on with what you've called us to do. Give us the boldness to do it. Yes? Very good. And what else? Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Lord, we want more lame men, more blind men, more dead men jumping around. Do it, Lord. That's what we want, he says. Lord, will you do that? Give us the boldness to preach it. And what was it at the end of Matthew's Gospel? This is what, not Matthew's, Mark's Gospel. And these signs will follow those who believe. They'll do this, they'll do that, they'll do the other. Well, I haven't done much, I'm afraid, brothers and sisters. I believe, but it'd be nice to see some, wouldn't it? Lord, he says, Lord, do wonders, because they can't argue with them. They can persecute, they can give you grief, but they cannot deny the guy standing up. That's what he wants. So they pray that, Lord, will you do that?
That's
not so real, but you've seen. Well, I've seen some, I know, but I want some more. We're going to see some more, don't we? Some more of God's working. He's good, you know. Right. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That's exactly what happened already. It's through the name of your holy servant Jesus that this man stands healed before you today. It's exactly what they said, isn't it? Right. So, it's a great prayer. Wonderful. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken.
Wow.
What's that mean?
God said,
yes. And so loud did he say yes that the building shook. Yes, I'll answer that prayer anytime. Yes, and not only was the building shaken, so it's a physical confirmation that their prayers had been heard. Yes, but also, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow, isn't that wonderful? So they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. Yes? I know there's some new ones there probably as well, but there's lots of old ones as well. I mean, old ones in the sense of having experienced Pentecost. Yeah? So they're filled again. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they got the guitars out and had a lovely prayer session. And they just said, oh, we love you, we love you, we love you. Isn't that wonderful? And then they went home and had a nice sleep. Yeah? Is that what happened? No, it doesn't say that to them. I see that. He says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They got what they asked for. Be specific in your prayers. You might get an answer then. How about that? They asked for boldness, and boldness is what they got. Wonderful. Right. So, we're going to stop there. Because that's the end of the section. The next section begins and runs into chapter 5. We've seen problems for the believers outside. We're going to see problems for the believers on the inside in the next section. Right? If you thought the church was perfect, you've come to the wrong place, obviously. But isn't it wonderful that these obviously peasants, that's what they were, that's what they were considered as. But do you know, I was converted through John Bunyan. Through his word, through in Pilgrim's Progress. Well, amongst other things, the Lord used all sorts of things. But John Bunyan, he was a Bedford tinker. One of the nobodies of society. And yet he wrote some of the most amazing literature in the English language. How can a peasant do that? I'll tell you how. Because God can make lame men walk. He can make peasants right. He can make stupid people a bit smarter than the rest of them. Thank God for that, eh? So there's hope for us all, isn't there? Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for Jesus alive today in us. Lord, we pray, yes. Lord, give us a boldness when we face the hostility. I know it's not everywhere, Lord, and there are people who are willing to hear and receive, like the great crowds were, Lord, who saw a wonderful thing had happened. Lord, we pray, Father, you'll give us the boldness and the wisdom. And, Lord, the promised Holy Spirit to give us the words when we need them at such times. Lord, we would pray, Father, that you would, Lord, just bless in such ways and may your word be attended by supernatural power. However you choose, Lord, Lord, that's yours to choose. Lord, we pray that there may be clear evidence that we're not just talking earth stuff, Lord, but we're dealing with a God who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Lord, you are God. Lord, glorify your name. And use us, earthlings, peasants and weak people, Lord, just to glorify your name. Lord, when they see you doing things through us, they won't be saying, aren't they amazing people? Lord, they'll be saying, isn't he an amazing God? Lord, we thank you for that. And just pray you'll bless us and thank you in Jesus' name.